We turn next to the case of the Big Brother, the founding state of the communist project, the Soviet Union. It had a facade of vigor and disappointing realities behind. The Soviet Union managed to project, remarkably, an attractive image to many of power and progress after World War II. This was underlined by its technological achievements, by the launching of atomic weapons, the launching of the Sputnik satellite in 1957, which panicked Western societies with the prospect of being left behind in the space race in which the Soviets then would go on to achieve remarkable successes. In this context, nuclear weapons were an especially important feature of the technological prowess of the Soviet Union. Nuclear weapons would give it undisputed superpower status even in a time when its economic performance was lagging. Now, even Western intelligence agencies were slow to understand the depths of the systemic crisis of the planned economies of the Soviet Union and other Eastern European states, but some observers who had already noted the lack of consumer goods, the unreliability of statistics, the outrageous claims made in propaganda about advances in economics, considered the Soviet Union to be little better than, as one put it, Upper Volta with rockets, a third world country, in essence, whose claim to status was its military machine. And that military machine clearly exacted an enormous price and was an enormous drag on the economy of the Soviet Union. We might mention parenthetically that the Cold War was expensive for both sides. It was an enormous expense. In the Soviet case, it was estimated that perhaps a quarter of its gross domestic product was spent on the arms race. Historians of economics have pointed out that, in fact, it's difficult to be precise about these estimates because the entire economy of the Soviet Union was remarkably militarized. Added to these expenses were further subsidies to communist satellites and communist movements worldwide who had to be encouraged, given the ideological commitment to revolution. And yet, observers of the Soviet system noticed, especially after the impact of de-Stalinization, Khrushchev's revelation of the crimes of Stalin, crimes against the party were emphasized, a certain winding down of the ideological fervor that had earlier characterized the Soviet Union under Lenin or Stalin. This turn away from revolutionary fervor and fanaticism now raised the question of how the system could yet continue to exist given its ideological mission. Well, what's clear is that within the ranks of the party itself, there grew people who've worked their way up the system who pursued perhaps ideological conviction, but also careerist goals. A privileged elite that came to be called the apparat, meaning the machine, or the nomenklatura, meaning those whose names mattered in the nomenclature of lists of the party elite. This was a phenomenon that undermined the egalitarian claims of the classless society of the Soviet Union. And the leadership itself seemed to be stumbling. The leadership grew old, so that some historians of the Soviet regime in its later stages speak of a geriatric leadership, which had not passed the torch to a younger generation, undermining the image of the vitality of the communist ideology. This was coupled with continuing repression. Khrushchev, in part having angered some of his own allies within the movement by his unsparing revelation of Stalin's crimes, was turned out of office in 1964 and was replaced by a collective leadership. From the ranks of that collective leadership, there emerged one man as main leader, Leonid Brezhnev. Leonid Brezhnev announced that the Soviet Union was on course and it would stay that course. It was in the stage of developed socialism. It's a theoretical phrase that was supposed to inspire confidence. It probably didn't. But it was the stage which indicated the approach of the perfection of communism.